The Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious, essential knowledge simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akatra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're getting into a really fascinating area of psychology, looking at Dr. Robert Cialdini's book, Persuasion, a revolutionary way to influence and persuade.
Yeah, this one's a game changer. It shifts the focus entirely. If you thought persuasion was all about, you know, having the best argument.
Right, polishing your pitch.
Exactly. Cialdini says, hold on, the real magic happens before you even deliver your message. It's about prepping the audience's mindset right beforehand.
It's all in the setup. And this isn't about sneaky tricks, is it? It sounds more like understanding the psychology for better, maybe more ethical communication.
That's the goal Cialdini emphasizes. It gives you tools, yes, but also helps you understand the hidden forces that shape decisions, yours and others. It's really valuable knowledge in today's world.
Okay, so before we dive into the how, let's talk about the who. Who is Dr. Robert Cialdini?
Well, he's basically the godfather of influence research. Regents Professor Emeritus of Psychology and Marketing, globally recognized as the top expert.
And his background is pretty unique, isn't it? It's not just academic theory.
Not at all. For his first major book, Influence, which is legendary in itself, he actually went undercover for 3 years.
Undercover? Doing what?
He immersed himself in what he calls compliance professions. Think telemarketers, car salespeople, charity fundraisers, anyone whose job is basically to get people to say yes.
Wow. So he saw it all from the inside.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That combination of rigorous academic study and gritty real-world experience gives him this incredible authority. Influence laid out those six big principles: reciprocity, scarcity, authority.
Consistency, liking, social proof. Yeah, those are classic.
Right. Those are the what of persuasion. Persuasion, though, is the crucial next step. It's the when and the how. It's about timing and context.
So persuasion builds on influence, but adds this critical layer about preparation.
Precisely. He argues that the best persuaders aren't necessarily the most eloquent speakers. They're more like psychological architects.
Architects? How so?
They carefully design the mental environment before making their request. They create the conditions where the message is most likely to be accepted.
Okay, and this leads to a key concept he calls the privileged moment. What exactly is that?
It's this brief window right before you deliver your main point where the listener is especially receptive.
Receptive why?
Because the persuader has skillfully guided their attention towards a related concept. It's like warming up the engine before you hit the gas. You prime them so the yes feels natural.
It sounds subtle.
It often is. But it's based on a really powerful psychological principle, which is maybe the core thesis of the whole book. What's focal is causal.
What's focal is causal. Okay, unpack that a bit.
Basically, whatever your attention is focused on at any given moment automatically gains importance in your mind. You start to see it as the cause or the main driver of what happens next.
So if I can control what you're focusing on right before I ask you something,
you can shape how you interpret the situation, what you value, and ultimately your decision. It's fundamental to how we process information.
That has huge implications, not just for like marketing, but for everyday conversations, negotiations.
Everything. And Cialdini is clear. This knowledge is powerful. You can use it ethically to communicate better. And you need to understand it to recognize when it's being used, perhaps less ethically, on you. It's self-defense too.
Right. Becoming aware of the invisible strings. Okay, let's get concrete. You mentioned attention front-loading. Give us an example from the book.
Okay, there's this great case study about a consultant. He needed potential clients to agree to a fairly involved market research project, which meant giving up time and contact info. Initially, his success rate was pretty low.
Makes sense. People are busy, reluctant.
Right. About 29% compliance.
Yeah.
Then he added one simple question before making the actual request. He asked people, can I ask if you consider yourself an adventurous person?
Adventurous? How does that help?
Yeah. Well, think about it. Most people want to see themselves as adventurous, or at least open to new things. So they answer yes.
Okay, so they affirm that identity.
Exactly. They affirm, I am adventurous. And then immediately after, he presents the request, which involves trying something new, this research project. It now aligns perfectly with the identity they just claimed.
I see. So agreeing feels consistent with being adventurous.
Precisely. And the results. Compliance shot up from 29% to almost 75%. Astonishing jump.
Wow. He didn't change the offer at all. Just that one little question beforehand.
That's persuasion in action. He changed the psychological context, not the message itself. It works because of how our minds link ideas, the power of association and priming.
Let's talk about that priming mechanism. How does focusing on one idea, like adventure, make something else more likely?
Cialdini explains it beautifully with the chapter title, I Link, Therefore I Think. Our minds are like these vast networks. Activating one node, like adventure, sends ripples outwards, making closely related concepts like trying new things, risk, maybe even opportunity, temporarily more accessible, more top of mind.
Okay, that makes sense. He must have other examples of this kind of subtle priming.
Oh yeah, the furniture store cloud experiment is a classic one he details. Researchers set up two versions of an online furniture store website. They looked identical, except for one thing. The background wallpaper.
Just the background? What were the options?
One version had fluffy, soft-looking clouds. The other had scattered coins.
Clouds versus coins. Okay, what happened?
Visitors who saw the clouds, which subtly primed concepts like comfort, softness, relaxation, they actually rated comfort as a more important factor when choosing furniture. And they spent more time looking at the comfy sofas.
And the coin group.
They saw the coins, which primed concepts like money, price, savings. And guess what? They focused more on the price of the furniture and tended to look at the cheaper options.
That's incredible. The background image literally changed what they valued most at that moment.
Without them even realizing it.
Yeah.
It shows how these subtle environmental cues can steer our decision-making process. It's like that other study he mentioned.
The wine shop one.
Yeah. Playing French music led to more sales of French wine. Play German music, more German wine sales. The music primed nationality, and people acted accordingly. Often unconsciously.
So our attention is constantly being pulled and nudged. Cialdini categorizes the things that grab our attention, right?
He does. He splits them into two types, attractors and magnetizers.
Attractors? Like magnets?
Sort of, but they're more like flashbangs. Attractors grab attention momentarily. These are things evolutionarily wired into us. The sexual, the dangerous, and anything new or different. They break through the noise.
Okay, sex, danger, novelty. Got it. Why not just use those all the time if they're so powerful?
Because they don't hold attention. They get you the initial glance, but the focus fades quickly. They're good for interrupting, not engaging.
Right, so they attract but don't stick. What are the magnetizers then? The ones that hold focus.
Magnetizers create sustained engagement. The two big ones are the self-relevant, anything that directly connects to us, our identity, our needs.
Makes sense. We pay attention to things about us.
And the other crucial one is the unfinished.
The unfinished, like leaving things hanging.
Exactly. This taps into something called the Zeigarnik effect. Our brains are wired to feel tension around incomplete tasks or unresolved stories. We remember them better and feel a pull to see them through.
Ah, like a cliffhanger ending on a TV show. You can't stop thinking about it.
Precisely. So a skilled communicator doesn't just dump information. They might frame it as a puzzle to be solved, a mystery unfolding, or a story with an unresolved element.
That makes the audience lean in, become active participants because they want that closure.
Yes, it keeps them mentally engaged with the message long enough for it to sink in. It's a very powerful way to structure communication.
Okay, so we have attention, association, attractors, magnetizers. Now, Cialdini also talks about evolving his original principles, doesn't he? He proposes a potential seventh principle.
He does. He introduces the idea of unity. This goes a step beyond liking, which was one of the original six.
How is unity different from liking? Liking is about similarity, complements.
Unity is deeper. It's about a shared identity, that feeling of we-ness. It comes from things like shared family background, growing up in the same place, even acting in synchrony with others, like marching or singing together.
So it's about belonging to the same tribe, essentially.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. When unity is triggered, someone else's interests start to feel like your interests. Their goals become your goals.
Mm.
The persuasive power is magnified enormously because it's not just influencing someone similar, it's influencing someone perceived as part of you.
That feels much more fundamental than just liking someone.
It really is. And Cialdini doesn't stop at getting the yes. He also touches on what happens after the agreement in a section on post-suasion.
Post-suasion, making the decision stick.
Exactly. Getting agreement is one thing, ensuring follow-through is another.
So how do you do that? How do you make a commitment more durable?
He emphasizes making the commitment active, get someone to write it down or say it aloud, make it public if possible, and ensure it feels voluntary. But a really potent technique, he highlights, is using specific if-when-then plans.
If-when-then, like setting triggers.
Precisely. You link the action you want someone, or yourself, to take directly to a specific future cue.
Okay, give me an example.
Instead of just deciding I'll eat healthier, you make a plan like, if when I finish dinner, then I will immediately pack a healthy lunch for tomorrow.
So you preload the decision and link it to an unavoidable cue finishing dinner.
Right. It helps automate the behavior, making it much more likely to happen than relying on vague intentions or willpower later on.
Okay, pulling this all together, what are the big overarching themes listeners should really take away from persuasion?
I think the first, and maybe the most central, is the primacy of the moment before. Seriously, the setup matters more than the delivery itself. Where should you invest your energy? Cialdini says focus on architecting that moment before the request.
It really reframes persuasion, doesn't it? Less about arguing, more about aligning the psychological context.
Absolutely. The second big theme is that master key we talked about. What is focal is causal. Understanding this is understanding how easily our perception of reality and importance can be shaped just by directing attention.
Like that example of camera angles in interrogations, focusing on the suspect might make the confession seem coerced. Focusing on the detective might make it seem voluntary, just by changing the focus.
Exactly. It's a reminder to be critical about where our attention is being directed, whether by media, marketers, or anyone else. What's being highlighted, and just as importantly, what's being left in the shadows.
And the third theme, it has to be ethics, right?
Definitely. The indispensable role of ethics. Cialdini makes a strong case for integrity. He talks about bunglers who fail at influence, smugglers who use deception for short-term gain.
And detectives.
Right. The detectives are the ethical influencers. They find genuine existing reasons, true alignments of interest, and bring those to the forefront persuasively. They don't invent reasons, they uncover them.
And his point is that the smugglers, the unethical ones, might win sometimes, but they ultimately destroy trust.
Completely. And trust is the foundation of any long-term relationship or influence.
Yeah.
Dishonesty is ultimately self-defeating. Real mastery, sustainable influence, requires ethical practice.
The book has some really quotable lines that stick with you. Let's highlight a few key ones.
For sure. We've got to start with the big one again. What's focal is causal. It's just so fundamental to how our minds work, or maybe miswork sometimes. We give way too much weight to whatever's currently grabbing our attention.
It's a cognitive shortcut that can lead us astray. Then there's his definition of the masters. The best persuaders become the best through persuasion, the process of arranging for recipients to be receptive to a message before they encounter it.
Yeah, that sums it up perfectly. It's about preparing the soil, not just planting the seed.
And this one really highlights the sometimes non-rational nature of our choices. Often the factor that is most likely to determine a person's choice in a situation is not the one that counsels most wisely. It is the one that has been elevated to top of mind at the moment of decision.
That's a humbling one, isn't it? It reminds us that logic often takes a back seat to whatever idea has been most recently or powerfully primed in our minds. Timing and framing can trump the best argument.
Okay, so how can people listening use these ideas in their own lives? Ethically, of course. Let's talk practical applications, maybe in business first.
Okay, negotiations. Before you even start talking terms, you could consciously use language that primes cooperation. Talk about partnership, finding a solution together, focus on shared goals.
So you're persuading the other side to adopt a collaborative mindset instead of a confrontational one right from the start.
Exactly. You're setting the stage for a win-win discussion before the specifics are even on the table.
What about more personal situations, like, say, parenting?
Definitely. Remember the adventurous question. You could use identity priming. Instead of just nagging your kid to clean their room, maybe start by talking about being part of the family team, how everyone contributes.
You get them thinking, yeah, I'm a helpful part of this family.
Right. You activate that helpful identity first. Then, asking them to contribute by cleaning their room feels like a natural expression of that identity, rather than just a demand.
That sounds way more effective than just ordering them around. And what about using this on ourselves? For personal habits, maybe?
That's where persuasion, especially those if-when-then plans, really shines. Forget vague goals like exercise more.
Make it concrete.
Super concrete. If it is 7 a.m. on a weekday, then I will put on my running shoes. Or when I pour my first coffee, then I will take my vitamin.
You're linking the desired action to an existing unavoidable cue. Takes the decision-making burden off, right?
Totally. You commit once, and then the cue triggers the action. It automates the follow-through. Very powerful for building habits.
So, reflecting on this whole deep dive, what was the biggest takeaway or surprise for you?
For me, it's just how much of our decision-making happens, well, almost unconsciously, driven by these subtle cues and associations just beneath the surface, Persuasion really pulls back the curtain on that hidden mental machinery. It's kind of eye-opening.
Yeah, I agree. What I loved most is how it completes the picture started by influence. It's not just about what principles work, but why they work best at certain moments. It's the missing piece, understanding that preparing the ground is just as important, maybe more important, than the message itself. It's truly about the choreography of communication.
Well put. It's definitely essential reading for anyone who communicates, which is pretty much everyone.
Absolutely. Well, that brings us to the end of this fascinating deep dive into Robert Cialdini's Persuasion. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acotra Foundation.